welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached HoloNet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on galactic history. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on exotics. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for the applause. I truly do love teaching this class. I need to apologize for the delay in getting some of you the signed copies of my HoloNet dramas. I ran out of holodisks the other day, and I couldn't copy any more of my dramas over. It was really a desperate spot, but thankfully our favorite Rodian Dean had some that she could share with me. Now, she wasn't actually in her office to offer those to me, but I'm sure she totally would have understood such a dire predicament, right? Thankfully, I found a few discs right in her desk, and I relabeled them once I copied my movies on top of whatever was on them. Honestly, I'd never even seen the holodrama Tricka's First Birthday, so it must not have been very good. I'll have to set a reminder to order her another copy of that along with some of my greatest hits. This is what I would consider to be a special lecture, if I wasn't so sure that all of my lectures were special. What I'm trying to say is that I really enjoyed looking back into the archives to learn about some of these weapons. We are going to classify them as exotics. Now, we could probably slot all of these into some other categories, but whether by their nature or the way that they're used, I mean, these things just tickle me in a special way. I'd love to talk more about that, but I specifically remember a part of my contract with the university saying something about tickling, and I think I'm just going to avoid that entirely. The point is that these weapons I felt were so cool that they just needed their own lecture. And since I'm famous enough to teach what I want to teach, well, here we go. First up, it's not a lightsaber, and it's not a whip. Okay. Well, it is a whip. Okay, never mind. It's the light whip. A light whip is a plasma weapon, much like a lightsaber. But instead of having a focused straight beam, the light whip has a long, flexible blade. The way that that's accomplished was pretty ingenious, in my opinion. Instead of having one large crystal, there were as many as five small crystals in the hilt, which caused the plasma cells to lose their barriers, thus allowing the blade to move freely along a flexible path. The light whip was exotic because of its rarity. At certain times of galactic history, there were many, many Force users walking around doing Jedi and Sith things, but almost nobody had a light whip. Why? That's right! It is crazy dangerous! And not just to the opponent, but to the person wielding it. And on that note, let's fire this thing up! Do you have any idea how hard it is to control a whip to the point that it's never allowed to touch you, and if it does, you're gonna lose an arm? Do you see this Colto bandage on my arm? When I told my boss and associate I was gonna bring in a real light whip to class, he was seriously concerned. Something about how if I died, he wouldn't get paid. So he gave me a regular whip instead, and I immediately whipped myself. This thing hurts like a bantha. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but despite my convincing role in the classic holodrama Jedi's Die Hard, I'm sure you all know that one, I don't actually have any ability to control the Force. I think you pretty much have to have that to use a light whip. And even amongst Force users, they were thought to be wildly dangerous. It also leads to another point, which is that their dangerous style was purely offensive. They were designed to kill an opponent who held a lightsaber. They were not designed to be defensive, which goes entirely against the Jedi code. The Jedi Order of the Old Republic believed that lightsabers, those were peacekeeping tools. Well, a light whip held no peace. It was a killing weapon 100%. Obviously, the users were almost exclusively Sith. The light whip was very good at exactly one task. Now, listen carefully, because this is probably the single most useful lesson that I've ever learned about weaponry. A weapon can trade efficiency for unfamiliarity. Okay, what this means is that if you have a highly efficient weapon, like, say, a lightsaber in the hands of a skilled Jedi, well, then you're fine, right? Highly efficient weapon. Skilled user, life is good, A-plus performance. But a weapon like the light whip has flaws. It's dangerous to the user, it can't be used defensively very well. So why was the light whip so efficient at killing Jedi? Because you can trade efficiency for unfamiliarity. Nobody had any experience defending against a light whip because of how rare they were. They attacked at strange, unpredictable angles, usually in an all-out offensive fashion. And with lightsaber-type weaponry, well, it's a one-mistake, game-over situation. So the defender's unfamiliarity with the light whip, that caused a lot of problems, making the light whip a weapon that did have flaws, an A-plus performing weapon. Efficiency was traded for unfamiliarity. Historically, there have been a few wielders of the light whip, and frankly, they're probably remembered because they were the very few who wielded it with any success. About 1,000 years BBY, there was a Lady of the Sith named Githany, who rose to some considerable power and was famous for the use of her light whip. She was probably the first known user, but she, like the entire Sith army of that time, was wiped out in the Battle of Rusan, ushering in what was known as the Rule of Two. That's a kind of a complicated situation there, and so we'll cover that in a future class. You don't see another light whip for nearly 1,000 years until another Sith named Lumaya shows up with one. Hers even had that Cat-O-Nine-Tails variant that had multiple strands on it. Here's a final note. Remember how I said that the light whip gained a lot of advantage by unfamiliarity? Well, Lumaya fought so many battles with it that her opponents started to figure it out, making it inherently less unfamiliar. Well, one clever Jedi used two lightsabers, one shorter than the other. Remember when we were talking about the Shoto blade? We briefly mentioned that. Well, that was highly effective in defending against the light whip. And once that unfamiliarity was gone, well, now you have an inefficient weapon that's just frankly no good. Whew, that was more than I wanted to talk about the light whip, but I mean, come on, that thing is awesome. The next one is a request of one of the students who kept sending me holomails requesting that I talk about it. Here, in my hands, is a Ganderfee. Okay. Now, the Ganderfee, or more commonly known as the Gaffy Stick, to the best of my knowledge, is exclusively used by a species on a planet called Tatooine. I think this weapon is a great example of how different species can evolve weapons that just work perfect for them. The species that I'm referring to are the Gorfas, but nobody really calls them that. They're referred to as Tuskens, or probably more offensively, Tusken Raiders, since they are an absolute terror to the local farmers. So, we're going to call them Tuskens. Incidentally, Tatooine has two suns and is crazy hot. You know what the farmers are actually farming there? Moisture. No, I'm serious. They farm moisture. They are literally farming the moisture out of the air. I can already see the confused look on a few of the Mon Calamaris in the audience. The Gaffy Stick is really a multi-tool. As you can see here, it is a long stick with a spear on one side surrounded by four short, fin-like blades at the end of the shaft pointing in each direction. Well, the spear is obviously for spearing, but those blades could also be used to chop or cut when you swing the stick down on something. At the other end is a 90-degree hook that has a large mace-like ball on it with a point in the middle. the ball is excellent for crushing, and the point was often dipped in sand bat venom. So to recap, you've got stabbing, cutting, smashing, and now poisoning. I'm sure if they could somehow get psychologically manipulating in there, they would have, but that's not really the Tuscan style. There's a lot of little variations in these specific elements because, like any good tribal weapon, they were individually crafted from local materials and considered status symbols. You don't just buy a gaffy stick. You either make your own from whatever you can find on that dusty planet, or you take one off another Tuscan, and good luck with that. Anyway, that's the gander fee. I always encourage students to reach out with suggestions, so thank you for that, wherever you are. Oh, well, there you are. I'm going to take 30 seconds here and talk about something that got missed in earlier episodes that I just cannot abide going unmentioned, and that is the tractor beam. Yes, I realize that billions of ships have a tractor beam, but its use as a weapon was exceedingly rare. There was a Grand Admiral of the Galactic Empire around the time of 10 BBY who was incredibly clever. He was actually a Chiss, which made him very out of place at the time inside the Empire because it was almost exclusively comprised of humans. His name was Mithra Nuriodo, but he was known as Grand Admiral Thrawn at the time because nobody wanted to try to get his attention by trying to yell that mouthful. Thrawn learned early that propulsion in space makes a lot of noise and a lot of heat. It is easy to track an X-Wing or a TIE fighter blasting towards you. But let's say you're on a Star Destroyer. If you drop the nose a bit of that destroyer and then take your tractor beam and grab a hold of, say, one of Thrawn's favorite ships, the TIE Defender, well, you could use that tractor beam and sort of throw a cold, unpowered TIE fighter strategically into battle. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but he would use the tractor beam to grab his own ship and fling it forward. Now, that's hard to see in the backdrop of space unless you get really lucky and spot it visually. It's going to power up and join the fight when it feels like it's surprising the heck out of you. So just because something isn't intended as a weapon, like a tractor beam, doesn't mean that some clever admiral won't use it as one. Well, I'm getting close to the end of lecture time here, so do we have any questions from the audience? Just go ahead and put an appendage up, and the microphone droid will find you.
Professor, I am Count Lohim, son of Duke Lohim. My homeworld is a moon of Iago, and we are beset by droids. What weaponry can be used to eradicate them?
This is an oddly specific request, and I'm sure that the university has some sort of stance on me offering advice on how to eradicate, but I'm famous, and so what do I care? Given that this is a history class, though, let's look at history to find the best answer. I don't think we're going to have to look very far. At the end of the Galactic Republic and the beginning of the Galactic Empire, around 19 BBY, well, there was an army known as the Separatists, and they were almost entirely comprised of droids. In one of the earliest battles on a beautiful planet called Naboo, where I personally have a summer home, there is a fairly unadvanced species known as the Gungans. Well, they don't really have any advanced technology, but what they did find is that the planet of Naboo can be traversed right through the planet core through waterways. And the Gungans are an aquatic species, so that worked nicely. Anyways, at the core, they found that they could harvest a sort of plasma goo. Naturally, anything that involves plasma means that it's eventually going to be weaponized, and so the Gungans did the simplest thing imaginable. They packed it up into balls and they hurled it at the enemy. When the plasma ball goo things hit anything, they would explode and do tremendous damage to organic beings. But more importantly, they would absolutely short out droid circuitry.
The Gungans developed weapons like the atlatl and the cesta, which were both basically delivery systems to hurl a ball of plasma goo at different ranges. So, I guess to answer your question, you could go to Naboo, travel to the planet Kor, harvest some plasma goo, pack it into a ball, and then throw it at the droids, shorting out their electrical systems. Or, you could do what everybody else in galactic history has done and just shoot them with a blaster rifle. Points for style, though, if you go with the goo. Okay, that's gonna be it for class today. Homework for next class is to find something on campus and make an exotic weapon out of it. No boundaries on this whatsoever. Just take whatever you think you can get away with. Good luck.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.